The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus spoke to the crowds about the kingdom of God, and he healed those who needed to be cured. As the day was drawing to a close, the 12 approached him and said, "Dismiss the crowd, so that they can go to the surrounding villages and farms and find lodging and provisions, for we are in a deserted place here." He said to them, "Give them some food yourselves." They replied, "Five loaves and two fish are all we have, unless we ourselves go and buy food for all these people." Now the men there numbered about 5,000. Then he said to his disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of about 50. They did so and made them all sit down. Then, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he said the blessing over them, broke them, and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. They all ate and were satisfied. And when the leftover fragments were picked up, they filled 12 wicker baskets." The Gospel of the Lord. Is God really good? I feel like it seemed like a strange place to start on this great and joyful feast of Corpus Christi when we thank God for the gift of the Eucharist, that he comes to us in his body and blood so that we can receive him like we will later in this Holy Mass. Also to realize that he provides for us all throughout our lives, that daily bread that we ask for in the Our Father is in fact given to us over and over and over again through the grace and providence of God. Might seem odd to ask, is God really good? But I actually think that the Eucharist is the greatest proof that God is good. Because in some ways it's natural for us to wonder when we look around in the world that there was someone or something that created all this, but why is there so much bad stuff that's happening? Bad stuff that happens to us personally or people that we love, things that happen in the world around us. We can say, God is really good. Why does he allow all this stuff to happen? And the answer is he does permit it to happen. He does permit the consequences of our choices to play out. But the lie that is kind of behind is God really good is that God's not really doing anything. It's as if he created us and just kind of sits back and lets the chips fall as they may. When in reality, we would say God does allow things to happen, but he never just steps back and makes us figure it out on our own. Instead, in the gift of the Eucharist, he says he will enter into anything that results from those choices. That any evil or sin or terrible things that we experience in this life, we don't actually have to walk through and encounter them alone. Instead, he wants to encounter them with us. Brothers and sisters, that's the great promise and the gift of the Eucharist. That when at the Last Supper, when Jesus gives the 12 apostles the gift of his body and blood, when he says, "This is my body and this is my blood," he doesn't want them just to kind of remember him fondly. He doesn't want them to just think that they're going to be able to go out and be great saints and apostles on their own. Instead, he's saying, "I will not abandon you. That even after my death and resurrection and ascension, I'll give you the gift of myself. That you can always be near to me. I can always be that bread that you feed on." Not in a weird cannibalistic way, but in a way that food feeds us physically. That we need it to have the strength and ability to go do the things that we need to do. So analogously, the Eucharist is that food for our journey. And food for us to be the disciples and apostles of Christ. That go out into the world to bring his goodness even where there's great evil and struggle. To go and make this kingdom more like the kingdom of heaven. I would say that's a proof that God is indeed good. Maybe not in a way that we would be good if we wanted to, but in a way that God is good. That he doesn't trample on our free will, but he comes to enhance it and to show us how we can love like he does. Because the church puts this feast day right after last Sunday, which is the Solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity. As I mentioned briefly in the homily, I think the Trinity is really pointing us towards what the life of heaven is like. That if the Trinity is three persons, always united in one, always in a loving relationship with one another, never seeking their own gain, but joyfully encountering the other, that's the life that heaven will be like. And so if we want to prepare our way to heaven, if we want to point our life in that direction, we should literally point our life in the direction of the Trinity. Point our life in the direction of perfect and lasting love. But that can seem like quite a high bar. Then when we know ourselves, we go, well, I'm not very good at that most of the time, Father Devin. I'd say, join the club, me too. But the great promise of God is that in his goodness, he calls us to that high and lofty goal. But he doesn't just throw us out there to do it on our own. He didn't tell Noah to build a great ark and then hand him a spoon and say, good luck with that ark thing. He provided the animals. He provided the wood. He still had to do a lot of the hard work. It's not that magically an ark showed up. But he didn't send Noah out to do an impossible job. He asked him to do a very high and difficult thing, but with the help and providence of God our Father. Similarly, brothers and sisters, that's what Jesus wanted to do for us with the Eucharist. That he knew that he would eventually ascend to the Father, that we would not be able to physically encounter him. But he knew that we as humans need that encounter. We need his strength and his love in order to become like the Trinity. And so he said, I'm going to give them myself. Not just in the great act of the cross, the great act of sacrificial love, not just in the majesty of the resurrection, but in a real, tangible, physical way that we can encounter him over and over again throughout our lives. And when we receive that Eucharist, it can truly be food for our journey towards heaven. It allows us to encounter and receive God's love and also changes us to become more like him. So yes, our God is good, and that's why he gave us the gift of the Eucharist, like so many of the other sacraments. I love that oftentimes when we're called to visit someone, we as priests are called to visit someone when they're near death. A lot of times the family will ask for last rites or anointing of the sick, or they'll just say, Father, we're not really sure what you're supposed to do, but we know we're supposed to call you. And I say, that's good enough. I'll show up. But oftentimes, whenever a priest hears that someone needs last rites, we'll come and we'll hear the person's confession if they're able to confess their sins. We'll offer them the prayers of the church and blessings through the apostolic pardon and the anointing of the sick. But then the final thing that we always do if the person is physically able is to give them the Eucharist. To give them the Eucharist with what is called viaticum. Viaticum is just a fancy Latin word that means food for the journey. And when someone's near death, really for the whole history of the church has said, we will kind of give you all the graces and gifts that we can, but the best one that we can think to give you is Jesus himself. Is to give you the Eucharist one final time as literally food for the journey. As the strength and sustenance you need as you go from this life towards the heavenly kingdom. Brothers and sisters, it's one of my favorite things to do as a priest, not because I'm morbid and like to be near death, because I cannot think of a better way to prepare for death, really to prepare for any moment of our lives, and to receive Jesus and to be united with him. Why? Because he is good. He wants to show us his love that's present in the Trinity, but also to draw us into that, to be our food that strengthens us to be loving and generous towards others, to be the food that shows us that we're not called to stay where we're at in our comfort or in what we enjoy, but in finding ways to love as Jesus did. Go out of our way, out of ourselves, to love those around us. To be willing to go into those places where things aren't perfect. People are sick or suffering, or they've encountered evil in the world. So that with the presence of Jesus, we can go and bring his goodness and love to those places. Brothers and sisters, in this Holy Mass, let us thank God for the great gift of the Eucharist, for the ways that it's already been food for our journey. Help us to become like Christ in many ways throughout our lives up till today. Let's also pray that it will continue to be food for our journey. That it will continue to be the thing that points us towards the life of heaven, towards union with the Holy Trinity. That by encountering love itself in the Eucharist, we can be transformed into that same love. So that the presence of God won't just be something that's far off from us, that it can be present within us each and every day, allowing us to receive that love of God and become like it each and every day through the gift of His body and blood.